KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. This is Craig. Rainbow Radio. My guest here this morning is Philip Yeager. Say hello, Philip. And we'll be right back on the other side of Iz with news and updates in the LGBT community in Laguna Beach. Good morning. 58 degrees this morning. Good morning, Laguna Beach. Happy to be here on a bit of a cloudy morning this morning, but nonetheless, none will dampen our spirits here at Laguna Beach in KX935. We got a lot to get today. I'm so pleased today to have a special guest who's traveled all the way from Costa Mesa. Imagine that. And that's Phil Yeager, and he is associated with, which is what now is Radiant Health. And he's going to give us an update on what they're doing. But before we get into all that, we're going to give you, I need a shout out to our sponsor this week, which is Mike Johnson and Compass Realty. And thank him for being a stalwart supporter here on KX935. And also a couple other announcements that I need to make. But most importantly, 2 weeks from today is the kickoff of the LGBTQ Heritage Committee's brainchild, which is the Laguna Beach Pride Festival. So I know a lot of people are probably over in Long Beach this weekend, and indeed some of our associates are over there soliciting people to attend our own Pride Festival, which will be in 2 weeks. So we're very, very excited. We have some top name entertainers on there that really surprised me in the show. The mayor, Tony Eisman, is going to be there for the opening ceremonies. And then we roll into 8 hours in the pavilion, which we call the Pride Pavilion, on Saturday of entertainment rotated across the stage, dancing, beverages, food booths, and vendor. There'll be some vendors in the event. And then later that day at 2 o'clock, actually the VIP room opens at the Boom, which is a very special endeavor. The VIP room this year is a response to the long lines we had last year, that we doubled the space in the Boom so we can have double the capacity. We also have the Pride Pavilion, which is a capacity of about 500 persons. So between the two, we've got lots of space this year. But if you do get a VIP pass, then you do get to use the lower dance floor exclusively in the Boom until 10 p.m., and we have a VIP room, reception room, with some light food items and premium bar. So there's a lot in that package. The general admission is fabulous. And if you go online and pre-purchase, you can save $2 on the general admission. Instead of 12 at the door, it's 10 in advance. And you can also purchase some beverages if you'd like in advance, and there's a discount on that. So, but the whole weekend is just full of events. And particularly, I looked at that's a 10-day forecast. I guess it'd be the 14-day forecast, as we're 2 weeks away, right? Duh. Anyway, it says it's going to be 86 degrees on Sunday. So it should be a beautiful Sunday, the 3rd of June, which is coming right up. And we should have a great turnout at the beach. After the beach, then it's back to the Boom for a tea dance in the afternoon until late evening or early morning, I suppose. Are you going to make it there, Philip?
Going to make it down.
We go. Okay, that's much better. Say hello, Philip.
Hello.
Anyway, it's going to be quite an event. We also want to shout out to Lux, who has every Wednesday has a rainbow party. And also, if you want to catch up with the latest of the news for the Pride Festival, you can always go. There's two sources, but I have a weekly column in Stu News, and it's called Rainbow Reflections. Go figure. We got Rainbow Radio, and we have Rainbow Reflections. So we got a bit of everything. And or you can go to LagunaBeachPride.org. LagunaBeachPride.org. Spell it out. All the information's there. You can sign up for updates. You can volunteer, which we really need some volunteers. So there's lots there for everyone to get involved in the community, and we would love to have as many people participate, from volunteers to bartenders to attendees and special guests. Again, including the former mayor Tony Eisman will be kick off the party at noon on Saturday the 2nd. So that's all the news for now. I'm going to delve into here with our guest a little bit. Let me explain to you who the heck Philip Yeager is, and I'm going to read some very important, words about him. I'm trying to embarrass him a little bit before we get into the program. Phil Yeager, who became executive director and CEO of AIDS Services Foundation, Orange County, in 2008. That's just what? 8 years ago.
10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years ago. Yes. My math's not very good.
It's early.
It is early, thank you. But I've had a cup of coffee. In 2008, has a drive and passion for helping those living with HIV disease. Phil first joined Radiant Health Centers, then ASF, as a volunteer 24 years ago. That's a lifetime in a lot of people listening.
Yeah.
And immediately developed an appreciation for the stewardship of its resources and its strong commitment to the community. Phil then became the organization's first food pantry coordinator through a grant given by the Elizabeth Taylor Foundation, and later held a number of direct and support services roles, providing him with a 360-degree view of the scope and breadth of the organization's critical work. A highly respected authority on the subject of HIV and the importance of education, prevention, and the care of those infected with the disease. Phil is dedicated and committed leader and an invaluable asset to the organization and the Orange County community. That's a lot. That's a lot to live up to there, Phil.
I feel on the spot.
Are you feeling sufficiently on the spot? So I always like to I'm always curious when someone is on the program and they have a 24-year commitment that you have had, Phil. There must have been a key point in your, becoming involved that was passionate to you, that drew you in, that made you feel, you know, this is something I really need to perhaps spend some of my time. Did you have that kind of moment?
I did, and it actually happened very early on. So I initially started with ASF as a volunteer, as you noted. And after a couple of months of volunteering, the grant had come through from the Elizabeth Taylor Foundation.
Okay.
And they said, Phil, hey, you should really consider, you know, applying for this position. And I said, okay, this is a part-time, 20 hours a week, $9 an hour position. I just don't know how I can survive, could possibly survive on that. I was working full-time in transportation management. That was really my career. But I really enjoyed my time at ASF. I really felt a difference there. And because I worked an alternate schedule in my transportation role, I was able to do this other part-time food pantry coordinator role as well. So I was working 60 hours a week, but I knew I could only do that for 6 months at the most. And I knew at the end of those 6 months, I'd figure out what to do and where to go.
So 24 years later, no, go on.
and it was 3 weeks into my role as the part-time food pantry coordinator that I realized this is where I need to be.
Wow.
This is my passion. I'm not working for a shareholder or, you know, stakeholders in a company. I'm working for the community.
So you set aside a lifetime of education and skill and talent in transportation science, for something that was passionate to your heart.
Yes. And what was really cool is I was able to also bring that experience in transportation to ASF.
Oh.
And we then, helped develop the transportation program that exists today. So it was nice to be able to bring both together.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people are not fortunate in that. Their work is too much not of their, what they're passionate about. But
right.
And I also feel that when people are involved with work that they are that has their passion, they're much better at what they do.
Right.
You know, so
right.
it's important. So you 6 months in, you kind of felt that this is where you wanted to head, and, mm-hmm. and you changed your program.
Right.
And at that point, you were still the pantry coordinator person?
Correct. Food pantry coordinator. And at the end of 6 months, they were able to give me another part-time role as a PR coordinator. So now I had a full-time role with the organization. So that was great. That made it manageable for me.
So is it fair to say you've been through the many transitions that have been a part of ASF to Radiant Health at this point, many of the detailed?
Right, yeah. Because, you know, when I first started, in 93, the protease inhibitors weren't out. All we had was AZT, and people were dying.
Right. It's a death sentence. You found out you had it in 3 months to get your things in order.
And then around 95, 96, protease inhibitors came out, so we had new treatment available. People were doing much better. We began to focus on building a safety net of services so that we could help people live with HIV and AIDS. Initially, we were helping them die with dignity, but it was just so exciting in the 90s to go, okay, we've turned the corner on this. Now we're living with the disease.
Phil, I'm going to tell you, there's some parallels here. When I had Sarah Kasman on from Shanti, mm-hmm. that they had some of the similar transitions from essentially, her passion was to become involved to help people die with some level of dignity, because mm-hmm. there were so many abandoned HIV persons, mm-hmm. Friends and family, and even the gay community they didn't know what it was all about at the get-go. So they did some of these transitions you're speaking of as well. There's some familiarity there. So then it went from... let's pick up where I interrupted you.
So after the 90s and building out support services, the next real shift for the organization came in about 2000 when we began to focus on prevention. So we had done and built this incredible safety net of services. We were doing great work at taking care of people who are living with HIV and AIDS.
Okay.
But we knew that what we really needed to now focus on was preventing new infections from happening. So that's when we secured our first CDC grant. We opened a satellite site in Costa Mesa, and we began implementing some very extensive, robust prevention efforts. And that's when we initially began providing HIV testing as well.
Were you pretty proud of that transition to be able to prevent as opposed to treat, as opposed to assist dying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was just a natural progression for us as an organization. It was a natural... expansion of services.
Well, I assume in the process you've met a lot of similar people with a similar passion that have a heartfelt commitment as you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. When I look at the staff, we have many staff. There are staff members there longer than I have been. So we have a social worker, Wendy Lords, who's been with us 27 years.
A shout out to Wendy.
Yes.
We love you, Wendy. Thank you for being there.
Yes, yes. And so... So then there was a period where there was not a whole lot of new news or information around HIV and AIDS, but what did begin to emerge was what we now refer to as treatment as prevention. So the science and research began to identify that if we have somebody who's HIV positive and we get them virally suppressed, it was more difficult for them to transmit the virus to others. So suddenly we knew that, for somebody who's HIV positive to be on medication, virally suppressed, they're not spreading the virus out in the community.
So when their viral load is very, very low, they're less apt to transmit.
Right. And so that's what the thinking and belief was back, I'd say, about 2008, 2009.
Okay.
And where we're at today is the research now has proven, and the CDC came out at the first of this year with what is called undetectable equals untransmittable, which for an individual whose viral load is undetectable, it is impossible for them to sexually transmit HIV to their partners.
Oh, my God.
That is a game changer. That has a huge impact on stigma and the stigma that many people living with HIV and AIDS feel. But again, that was an exciting point of revelation in the research. And then to take that the step further, what then came out is information around PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. And that's where taking the same medication that's provided to an HIV-positive person that gets them virally suppressed, given to an HIV-negative person, provides up to 99% protection against the virus. Mm. So not a true vaccine, but a prevention effort. I kind of refer to it sometimes as a functional vaccine because you're required to take medication daily for it to be effective. But just, again, another game changer.
I just if someone's tuning in and maybe they're not as familiar as, say, you or I, the CDC is the Centers for Disease Control.
Yes.
And it's a government agency that monitors all kinds of diseases and intervenes to help a crisis situation, particular if there's an outbreak.
Correct.
But so they're a big partner in the prevention and a big partner in identifying transmissions and diseases.
Correct.
So, and the other thing is the PrEP. People, I think there's probably people that don't know what PrEP is. And from my understanding, it is a treatment or a drug that you can take that makes you quite resistant to getting the HIV virus.
Correct, yes.
And really what is the killer, in case you really don't, is viruses. And the virus is very unique and attacks the immune system. So it makes you really unhealthy and susceptible to many diseases because your immune system is compromised. So if your viral load, which is the virus, which is what causes the damage, is low, very low, or undetectable, as you say, then it's less apt to be transmitted through bodily fluids, which is the common way that that it's transmitted. I just want to put that out there because I think if I'm a mother with a 18-year-old son and I just discovered he's HIV and I don't know what to expect, that it's important to know some of the terminology, you know, if they're not familiar with it.
Or if you've got an 18-year-old son who's come out as gay and is sexually active, to be able to know that, hey, I want to educate my child that there's a preventative tool out there that will help prevent them from contracting HIV.
Wow, yeah, that's huge, and that's being caring and loving parent that understands it, and the resources available, which would be Radiant Health,
correct,
which formerly was
AIDS Services Foundation Orange County,
or ASF for short,
or ASF, right?
And so, how long has ASF been around, and now as Radiant? How many years total?
33 years.
So, wow.
Yeah, ASF was founded in 1985 right here in Laguna Beach.
Wow.
Right?
So I think Shanti was established. So many things were established here in Laguna Beach.
Laguna Beach.
Shout out for Laguna Beach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely led the community. So for 33 years, we've been serving the community. On December 1st, World AIDS Day of last year, is when we announced our rebrand to Radiant Health Centers.
And what was the driving force behind that decision that pushed it forward?
Right. So there were a couple of factors. The first, and let me just kind of take a little bit of history back to say that as the Affordable Care Act was becoming under development, AIDS service organizations across the country, we began to ask ourselves, what implications will this have on the services we provide? And what do we need to do to ensure that we're still here and viable with less government funding into the future? We want to be able to continue to care for people living with HIV and AIDS.
So the Affordable Care Act really supported many of the people, their expenses with this disease, so that it with that, there was less need for other sources. Is that fair?
It's fair to say. So there were Ryan White funding is the major federal funding source for HIV programs across the country, and those dollars were paying for medical care for people living with HIV.
Okay.
With the Affordable Care Act, they're now able to receive their medical care through expanded Medi-Cal or through private insurance, which was now made available. So there was a shift in the need for funding for medical services. And again, aid service organizations, we wanted to do whatever we could to ensure that we're still around.
I was going
to
say, how do you stay alive in that situation?
Right.
It's kind of almost sounds like the carpet's rug's been pulled out from under your feet on a, not on a big level, but it's okay.
And so the thinking that came out of all of this was merge, grow, or go. And so many aid service organizations across the country have done exactly that over the last 5 to 10 years. Many have merged with other aid service organizations in their communities or in their states. Many have grown or expanded services to serve the broader LGBT community. And others have just simply had to close and transfer their clients or patients to other providers in the community. So the other issue that came into play around all of this is the number of new infections that we continue to see in Orange County. And although we believed and know that we've done some incredible prevention work, and we were out in the community targeting our high priority for those folks who are at highest risk for HIV, we still had 6 new infections every week here in Orange County. And when we stepped back to say, why is this? What are we missing here?
Right.
We realized that it was the disparities in healthcare for the LGBT community that was responsible for a lot of these continued infections happening in our communities.
So I want to speak to that disparity, but I also want to speak to, obviously, well, when I attended your event, I think last December, and the at that point it was ASF, and it was limited to, the services were strictly, I believe, limited to people who were HIV.
Yes.
So apparently under the new, I guess, paradigm that you've created for to support the community, that those services have been expanded beyond that?
Correct. So we said, you know, if we're missing this portion of the LGBT community because they're not having the proper access to medical care, what can we do to facilitate that?
Good question.
And so we knew that if we looked at this incredible service system that we had developed for people living with HIV, if we expanded that to the broader LGBT community and expanded our services to include medical care, that we would, in essence, be addressing those health disparities, hopefully engaging those high-risk individuals sooner into care, providing them with resources such as PrEP and education around HIV and prevention, other STIs, that we would, in essence, be able to continue to bring down those number of new infections so that we can ultimately end the HIV epidemic in Orange County. That's our
very goal. Admirable.
Thank you.
I think what I'm hearing too, I remember when I lived in Sacramento years ago and I needed to see, I had a gay medical issue and I needed to see a doctor, and I was terrified because I wasn't really out with everyone, and I didn't know that the doctors would understand my special needs.
Right.
And so I feel that, and I won't go any further than that, but I feel that, it would be, if I were 19 or 20 or a young gay person, it would feel very comforting to know that there's people with the empathy and understanding of the gay culture and their unique medical needs that they may have that are different than the larger population. And apparently that's a big part of what Radiant is working to provide.
Absolutely. So as we looked at expanding services to the broader LGBT community, and we looked at our brand, that's where we realized, and in doing some focus groups and speaking with folks, that a young gay man who was not HIV positive would have a challenge in coming for medical care to an AIDS clinic, right? Or an HIV clinic.
Right.
And the same for a young lesbian woman who might be needing health care, she probably is not going to think to go to the AIDS HIV clinic for care.
Right.
So we knew that if we really wanted to attract this broader community, if that was truly now our new market, as well as people living with HIV, I want to make that very clear. We have not lost that part of our mission. That is still the focus and the vision and the core of what we do. But we know that we can do a better job in treating and preventing HIV infections if we're providing not only the wraparound support services, but medical care as well to the community.
Wow. That's a lot to digest. We're going to take a short music break and be back and pick it up here with Phil Yeager. Very interesting topic. I'm so glad you're here. I think what you have to say is so important. Anyway, we'll be right back on the other side of this song.
Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the concrete world. Look at all the plastic. Suffocating boys, suffocating girls. Welcome to my city. Welcome to my, oh my God. Have you heard the radio? Baby boy just shot his pop. And I don't know why we're living this way. But we do, yeah, we do. California vibing. California soul.
We're back here with Phil Yeager, and we were having a little off-mic conversation, and I kind of want to bring it into the fold here a little bit, because I have a mantra. It's called, and I think it's appropriate, the certainty of change, which is, we all have to admit, that there's a world of change. Change evolves. Darwin said that, you know? Anyway, the certainty of change brings the certainty of opportunity, and it's those individuals who can look at that change and do their best to understand the opportunity is, I think, are the ones that are the winner of the day. And the example I give is 10 years ago, Uber would not have been even a possible consideration. And someone came along and looked at internet and people sharing rides and thought, you know, there's a big change going on here. I'm going to get on that horse and I'm going to ride it. And that's the American way. I love it. And I think that's part of the dream is finding that change and that opportunity within. So, Phil, I think to roll it back to Radiant Health, everyone will be radiantly healthy. And the mission, which sounds like a very tall mission and objective, has changed. So I'll leave it at that and let you pick up kind of where we left off and what's going on with Radiant.
Right. So, and actually speaking to the mission, it's really an expanded mission. So we don't necessarily consider it changed, just expanded to broaden to include the LGBT community. And we're actually working on that internally right now, developing and crafting that new vision and mission for the organization. But the work we're doing immediately is we've begun to expand services, as I said, to the broader LGBT community. And the first of those services that we expanded was our mental health services. And we began providing those expanded services January 1 of this year. So those are now open to the broader LGBT community, regardless of HIV status. And it's not just mental health counseling. We also have psychiatry services, and we're implementing telepsychiatry services this month. So that was the initial service expansion.
I got to applaud you. I got to interrupt you. I got to applaud you for the mental health part, and on primarily because last 2 weeks ago I had Stop Bullying, and Steve Didikow, our former mayor, and maybe the mayor again soon, because they rotate, was here, and an organization. And it was just that if there's not something done about the mental health issues that revolve around bullying, and there's not a resource or somewhere people can go to understand to mitigate those horrible damages that come with bullying, that we're in a bad spot. We're in a bad spot with more gun violence. We're in a bad spot with many things.
Right.
And health, a good healthy mind and a good healthy perspective with is something that's earned and something that people can facilitate. And I think if that's part of, if you do nothing else with Radiant, but save, 10, 20 lives through your mental health program, kudos to you, because that is a big, huge issue. And I'm so glad that that's coming into it, because if you're HIV, that's a big part of it. And if you're not HIV and you're struggling, but you don't know where to go, and I think I just can't say enough. Right. Bless you.
Thank you. And thank you for recognizing that and pointing that out. Really appreciate that, Craig. But that was the first service we expanded. The next services are nutrition services. And so we, May 16th, so about a week ago, we initiated that expansion of services to the broader LGBT community. And that's for individuals who are low income and dealing with some type of a disabling disease. So maybe cancer, maybe diabetes, dementia, chronic depression, whatever. And so, again, that is the second of the services we've expanded. Another service expansion that we are implementing is transportation services for individuals who are seeking PrEP. So, again, these are for individuals who are not HIV positive. They're high risk, but they're having issues with getting to and from medical appointments or offices or the pharmacy or whatever is needed to get and stay on PrEP. So we will be providing transportation for individuals who lack it and require it to access that medication and those services. And then lastly, we are looking at this year an expansion or looking for a collaborative partner to identify the housing needs of LGBT transitional age youth. 40% of the homeless youth are members of the LGBT community. And yet we do not have a youth homeless shelter that focuses specifically on the needs of the LGBT community. So that's one of the other areas that we would like to explore and pursue this year. And so we're looking at, community partners to collaborate with us on that.
I don't know what to say here. I was working and assisting with the Main Street Bar and Cabaret recently for 3 years. And on occasion, I would hire an employee or there would be a customer, they're 21, but they even at 21 or 22, they're being thrown out of their homes.
Right.
Because suddenly they were discovered. And I'm thinking, I thought this was behind us.
Right.
And then I think I realized, and then I found that there's so many people in the community that are willing, out of their own kindness and money, because there's no resource to, I gave this one person a mattress and a sleeping bag, because they had nowhere to go I wasn't going to invite them home,
right.
But I was going to do what I could and help as many people as I could. And there's some very kind people that just step up and assist and save lives. But to have an organization that can support those efforts, and I kept asking around, is there someplace they can go in Laguna? Is there someplace, a safe spot that they can go temporarily? And I came up empty every time I asked. So.
Yeah.
Praise you for this program as well.
Thank you. So, and we are going to be looking at all of our services and expanding those throughout the coming year. But clinically, one of the things we're looking to do is expand our testing services. So we currently test for HIV and hepatitis C. And we want to expand those services to include all STIs.
Oh.
So that when an individual comes in, they're getting that full panel, that full screening of tests.
Right.
The other thing we're looking at is a mobile testing unit so that we can get out into the community, and especially in some of the homeless encampments and where many of the homeless folks live, to be able to provide HIV and hepatitis C testing services to that population would be incredibly impactful in us really ending the epidemic.
Right. So it's full service. It's mm-hmm. a supermarket of support.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because we had the last 33 years to develop this very extensive, broad continuum of care, addressing everything from housing, transportation, nutrition, mental health, mm-hmm. everything that could potentially keep somebody from remaining in care and on treatment. And so now it's just a matter of layering medical services on top of that continuum, as well as broadening that reach to the entire LGBT community.
Again, that's a tall order, and you're taking your well, you're not your first steps. You've been at it for a long time, but you're becoming more encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
Would be a good word.
And you know, it'd be nice if I could sit here and say this was all my grand idea, and you know,
but it
look
is.
At, look at how
it's
smart
all your
I
fault.
Am. Yeah, but the reality is that AIDS service organizations across the country have been doing this. So I've had some great models to look at. You look just to the north, AIDS Project Los Angeles, APLA, 5 years ago expanded their mission and services
okay.
to include medical care to the LGBT community. They now have two clinics, one in Long Beach, as well as one in Baldwin Hills. And again, other AIDS service organizations across the country have done this, have expanded services to the broader LGBT community, knowing that that is an effective way to ultimately bring down new infections and be able to end the epidemic. It's something we're all focused on
yeah.
across the country.
This is going to strike too close to home, but seniors mm-hmm. that need to retire and be in a community, I've found the ones I've been involved with, particularly with family, they're not very embracing of the gay component.
Right.
And in housing and places to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that's part of that is somehow coordinate some senior housing for the gay community, because I know in LA they do have some efforts on that. I don't really know all the details, but mm-hmm. I know that they're working on it, but that would be great as well. But,
yeah, that yeah. is a good point. And actually recently, May 1st, we held a panel with LGBT in the News, Tom Sensi. And that panel was on the health disparities in the LGBT community, and that was held in Costa Mesa. We had over 100 attendees, and that was one of the questions that came up. And, you know, when you look at also not only senior housing, but the HIV community, over 50% of the people living with HIV are now over the age of 50. And by 2020, that number is going to be 70%. So
there's some very special, unique
absolutely.
Needs.
Absolutely.
In that.
So we know that our services are need to be geared towards the senior community as we move forward as well.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about you a little bit. Are you native Californian? Not that that matters. I always like to ask, though.
For the most part, I was born in Georgia, but
Georgia,
but grew up in Southern California since the age of 3. So
well, you're a Californian.
I'm a
boy.
Californian, yes.
And you have family here, then?
I do have family here. I have a sister and her wife who live in San Jose.
And her wife,
yes. And they should, they're planning to relocate to Los Angeles this year. So I'm looking forward to that. And then I have family that live in the Eastern Sierras.
Wow.
My mother's in Bishop, and I have a sister and niece in Bishop, and then sister and brother-in-law, niece and nephew in Mammoth. And some.
How many siblings?
Four sisters and me.
Four? And oh, no.
Yes.
No
yes.
wonder you turned out the way you are. No, and then so one of them is gay, your sister.
Yes.
And so two out of four, that's half.
Yes.
So my family, there were three brothers and two out of three. So that's two-thirds. So
there you go.
The
yeah.
one man out, we told him if he wanted to change, he could. But that didn't go over so well.
So you'd be open and accepting to him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We were open and accepting. My mom had to drink a little wine on that one, I have to say. No, so you've been here and lived here since you were three.
Since I was three, so 53 years I've been living in Southern California.
Uh-oh, that's a giveaway. Yeah. Everyone's doing the math. Chink, chink, chink. And so on a personal level, what's your hopes as you push forward with ASF, or with ASF, with Radiant, and your path on a personal level?
Well, you know, I would love to see Radiant Health Centers fulfill its vision now of creating a health center in Orange County that's focused on LGBT with an HIV expertise.
Wow.
I would love to see that. A place where anybody in Orange County from the LGBT community can go, feel safe, feel welcomed, be treated with compassion, and receive the ultimate in healthcare. We want to create a center of excellence. And part of this vision for me is seeing an end to the HIV epidemic in Orange County. And that's where we bring the number of new infections below the number of deaths we have per year. So we still had 308, I believe, new infections in 2017 in Orange County. We are doing a good job of bringing that down, but we need to continue to bring those number of new infections down. So my vision is ending the epidemic and a center of excellence for LGBT healthcare in Orange County.
That's a tall order. We need some people to jump on Philip's bandwagon as much as possible. He's got his hands full, if you ask me. So how many board members are there on in the organization?
We currently have 17 board members.
Oh, wow.
Yep. We have a goal of reaching 20 this year, and there are a couple of individuals that we're in conversation with.
Okay.
Yes. So great, great support.
So I suppose that is the key to the success, is those board members and their, I guess, their expertise and their outreach in the community.
We have an incredible board. They are truly engaged. They are very, very passionate about the work we do, and you see that when they're out in the community.
You also have an event coming up, I believe, June 2nd. I don't want to talk about it too much because it's the same time as the Pride Festival, which I am spearheading. But it's a different type of event, so you can attend both. I'm hopeful.
Yes.
And I understand it's at the Ritz-Carlton.
Yes.
Here in Dana Point.
Yes. The event is Stairway to the Stars. It will be on Saturday, June 2nd. There will be a VIP reception that begins at 5:30 p.m. And what I'd like to share is that we have a number of celebrities who will be attending.
Yes, do tell.
Yes, Levi Kreis is our headliner. He's a Tony Award winner, songwriter, singer, and actor.
I've heard
phenomenal.
Of Levi. Yeah.
Jason Stewart, he's a stand-up comedian and actor. He will be our MC for the night.
Same there, yep.
Yes, and then Meta World Peace, who is played professional basketball for 19 years and currently works as development coach with the Los Angeles South Bay Lakers, and won his first NBA World Championship with the LA Lakers in June 2010. He will be attending our VIP reception. Also, Emerson Collins, who's an actor, producer, director in film, television, and theater, also works as a television personality, radio host, event MC, panelist, workshop teacher, writes as a contributor for various media outlets, so very talented. Blake McIver, also an actor known for Little Rascals, Raising Helen, and Hey Arnold, the movie. And then Del Shores, who, of course, we know. He's written and directed, produced successfully across studio, independent film, network, cable. It should be a fun, fun evening. The purpose of the evening is really the launching of our capital campaign to build an LGBT health center in Orange County. So this is the event that will kick off this incredible new event. Yes.
This is a big deal.
Yes.
But I just have one request. When they're all through being VIPs, that they come over to the Pride Festival.
Absolutely.
And mingle with the rest of the world.
Absolutely. It's not far. We'll just have to come right up PCH.
I'll send the trolley down and pick everyone up.
That would be a great after party for us.
I promise an open mic for any one of them.
And if I can just say, for anyone who's interested or to purchase tickets, you can go to stairwaytothestarsoc.com and you'd be able to purchase tickets there. But again, should be a fun, memorable evening, we are honoring HRC as well. So Dr. Vinnie Pompei from HRC is also an honored guest.
So those who don't are not familiar again with these acronyms, HRC is Human Rights Campaign,
yes.
And they're nonpartisan, and they're a very strong vocal voice in the United States and in some locations globally to encourage that there's a fair treatment of all, the human rights are equal, and that they do fabulous things. Speaking of human, I'm going to segue into a little news here. China, it's a huge country, and here's some news that I like to share. China's LGBTQ advocates cautiously organized awareness-raising events across the country to celebrate International Anti-Homophobia Day. I didn't know we had an International Anti-Homophobia Day, but we do. On Thursday, amid concerns of growing intolerance towards the LGBT causes, one of the events was a 5-kilometer run to raise awareness to celebrate May 17th awareness anniversary of the day in 1990 when the World Health Organization removed homosexuality from the list of diseases. Good on them. But organizers told participants to run on their own, not in mass. An organizer of the runs held in Beijing told Reuters that they did not dare to stage any mass events in the capital this year for fear of proceedings might be interrupted by the authorities. Many event managers and volunteers spoke and said that they had to be wary of large gatherings and protests without the approval because it's technically illegal in China. So you can't get together. I mean, these are one of the freedoms we have, and as of a testament even today in Long Beach and in 2 weeks from today, where we all get together and in mass and have those freedoms, but it's not a part of the freedom in China. So there's a lot of things to go a great distance around the world. Another one that I found, Maryland bans gay conversion therapy. This is a good note. Thumbs up on this one. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, let's all write him a letter, please, signed a bill into law Tuesday that prohibits professionals from practicing gay conversion therapy on minors, as a growing number of states and municipalities are banning it. Maryland is the 11th state to enact legislation against this practice of trying to alter a person's sexual orientation through psychological intervention. Supporters of the ban note that the therapy is widely discredited by the Medical and Mental Health Associates. The law will classify the practice as unprofessional conduct. You could probably use your license, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I was worried about that. I think I saw a documentary where on how many adults were discovering that their children were gay and subscribing them to as many conversion therapy programs as they could find, paying the money. And you know, sadly, I think their intentions are honorable. They're trying to do what they feel is right for their children. But sadly, it is, I think it often does damage, in my personal opinion. I don't know what you think, Phil.
you're absolutely right. LGBT youth are 2 to 3 times more likely to attempt suicide.
Wow.
And are more likely to be homeless, as we talked about earlier. And it's estimated, as I said, 20 to 40% of homeless LGBT youth are homeless youth are LGBT.
40%,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, like I said, kids are still being kicked out of their homes. And the world is not necessarily a welcome space out there outside of many of the wonderful benefits we have here. This is an interesting event, and I think somehow we should all support it. Pride in Fort Lauderdale to host the Pride of the Americas in 2020. So the Americas, I hate to say, well, I'm from America. Well, there is several Americas in this continent. It's not just the United States of America. So the Americas is Mexico down to the Brazil and up to Canada. That is the continent of the Americas. So what they're organizing in 2020 is an international LGBT festival that is expected to draw people from several countries, including South America and Europe. Fort Lauderdale is the organization which will organize and host the event in South Florida as a gateway to Latin America. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? And so there is progress in spite of some of the sad news of the day on a global level. And I think that's about it. I might have Well, in Lebanon, they're going to block a gay festival. Lebanon's LGBT festival, the only event of its kind in the Arab world, was suspended after authorities interrogated organizer and threatened him with prosecution. So let's not end on a sad note. No. We're making progress. So is there anything else I'm missing? I know you have four sisters. Mm-hmm. I know your parents live not too far away. And you're here for the long haul, Philip, and you're here to do wonderful, remarkable things, and this event on the 2nd is a pivotal moment in that transition and yes. and moving forward, it sounds like to me.
Yes, it is. And, you know, as I've said, our Radiant Health Centers, formerly AIDS Services Foundation, we're here today after 33 years because of incredible support from the community.
Absolutely.
The community has always been there. They've always supported the work that we do, and we couldn't do it without them. And the community comes together not only on the June 2nd event, but we have AIDS Walk every year. We have the Orange County Ride for AIDS that's coming up in October. It's a one-day cycling event with three routes around Orange County. So there's a 100-mile route, a metric century, 60 miles, and a 30-mile route. And we're in the planning stages for a 10-mile family ride. But one-day event, and it's just great. You get to see the coastline to the hills of Orange County. It really is beautiful. And then we have an annual gala every January, at the end of January. This year we'll have a Las Vegas-themed gala. So we have events throughout the year, opportunities for the community to come out and support us, and they always have, and we have just been incredibly grateful.
Phil, I called you Phil. I promised myself I wasn't going to call you Phil. I was going to call you Philip.
Most people do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, Phil. You know, say I'm cleaning out my garage, and I hear the radio program, and you want to know what I can do on a more simple binary level, I guess, to make a contribution or to do maybe donate some time, maybe donate some supplies or food, maybe make some type of contribution. Because, I mean, I don't want it, I'll be very blunt, I don't want it to be all about the Ritz-Carlton and going to a grand affair. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that that's a huge part of it. And a lot of people are very generous and kind and take their valuable time to participate. But there's also a lot of people, I'm sure, that would like to participate on a maybe more simple level.
Absolutely.
And maybe be anonymous, too, you know?
Right, right. So there are those opportunities, but then there are incredible volunteer opportunities.
Okay.
Yeah, so our main office is in Irvine, and that's where our food pantry operates out of.
Okay.
And that food pantry is primarily volunteer-run. So we do have one paid staff member, but the rest of the support there is volunteers. And it's just, that's where I started my volunteer work.
And there's just that's near and dear to you.
Oh, yeah. And there's just something about food. You know, it's tangible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We all understand the value and the need for food. And to be able to provide that food to an individual is just remarkable. So opportunities in the food pantry as well as throughout the office. We depend very much, very heavily on volunteers. And it's amazing how many volunteers wind up later becoming staff members.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They get hooked.
You just get
like Phil.
Yes. You get into the organization.
So be forewarned.
Yes. Be very careful.
That's not a bad thing. So they can get in touch with Radiant and do some volunteer on what is Radiant's URL?
So radianthealthcenters.org. So it's centers with an S, radianthealthcenters.org. I'll take you to our website. There you can sign up to volunteer. You can also call our offices. The main number is 949-809-5700. Our office hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. Monday through Friday. Although our offices in Irvine are open for HIV testing on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. as well.
Wow.
So, and then we also provide testing Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays from noon to 8 p.m. at our offices in Irvine.
How I know that they've made progress in the turnaround time. How soon are the results in those testings?
So what they're getting ready to implement here in Orange County is what's referred to as fourth generation testing. So previous HIV tests look for HIV antibodies in the blood. So that means you've been living with the virus right. for, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 weeks before those antibodies show up. The fourth generation testing identifies the HIV, the virus in the blood before antibodies have begun to be developed. So we're able to identify sooner, quicker, upon potential infection. Secondly, they now have what is called the INSTI test, which is a finger prick. It's a drop of blood, and within 10 seconds, they have your results for you.
Okay.
So the testing has really advanced, and so we're looking forward to implementing that fourth generation, that new testing here in Orange County. Right now, it takes about 20 minutes.
Now that I'm thinking out loud here, with the Pride Festival, that would have maybe be a should have. Could or maybe still could be a
maybe
component,
still can yeah
to do the testing at the
absolutely
event.
Absolutely,
we'll talk off mic.
Yes.
See, the certainty of change brings the certainty of opportunity. Here on KX93.5, we're gonna take a short music break, and then we're gonna be back and wrap it up. And we're so glad you're listening, and so glad you're on board here at KX93.5.
There's a place I go to when no one knows me. It's not lonely, it's a necessary thing. It's a place I made up, find out what I made up. The nights I've stayed up, counting stars and fighting sleep. Let it wash over me, I'm ready to lose my feet. Take me off to the place where one reviews life's mystery. Steady on down the line, lose every sense of time. Take it all in and wake up, that small part of me. Day to day I'm blind to see and find how far to go. Everybody got the reason, everybody got the way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. It gets into your body and it flows right through your blood. We can tell each other secrets and remember how to love. Mystery. Steady on down the line, lose every sense of time. Take it all in and wake up that small part of me. Day to day I'm blind to see and find how far to go. Everybody got the reason, everybody got the way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. And it gets into your body, flows right through your blood. And tell each other secrets and remember how to love. Da da dum da dum dum dum. Da dum dum dum. Da dum dum. Da da dum da dum dum.
Oh, thank you, Matt Simmons, Catch and Release. I probably overdo that song, but I'm just, we're going to wrap it up here. I want to just thank my guest again, Philip, and or Phil, and for being here and giving us an update on what's the progress with the Radiant Health Organization, formerly ASF. And Phil, did you have anyone you wanted to shout out and say thank you? From your heart or your mom and dad? Hi, Mom.
I just want to thank you, Craig. This has just been so enjoyable, and I just really appreciate the opportunity to be here today And to speak and to be part of your show. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I don't know if I've ever got a shout out quite like that. Thank you. I thank you very so much. And we're wrapping it up here as KX 93.5 Laguna Beach's only FM radio. And Ida May's here in the studio and she's about ready. She's chomping at the bit. And we're going to, she's going to take it away. Take it away. Ida May. Oh, I rhymed.
Oh, you did. How about streaming live on KX 93.5?